Rabbi, I want to speak to you about something that's pnimius b'pnimius, but it's very simple. Just because something is pnimius doesn't mean that it has to be hard. The hardest thing in the world is to take something simple and to make it part of yourself. That's hard. There are things that are hard to understand, and there are things that are easy to understand, but you have to bring a mamish v'ashivayis el v'avacha. So I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the beginning and the end. Everything begins with Avraham Avinu. That's our beginning. Everything begins with Avraham Avinu. Our entire life is the story of Masa Yegiu Maisa, the Maisa Avoise Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. All that we want in life and all that we could ever hope for in life is to somehow Masa Yegiu Maisa the Maisa Avoise, to somehow come into contact with that world of the beginning of the Avos. Mr. Kotzke and other tzaddikim say Yegiu Maisa doesn't mean to become like Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. That's a very, very hard thing for us to imagine, but a lashon of negiah, to somehow touch that world, to come into contact with that world of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So Avraham Avinu is the beginning. Everything begins with him. But how does everything end with Avraham Avinu? There's a lashon we find in Chazal regarding Avraham Avinu. We don't find this by anybody else in Tanakh, by any tzaddik. Only by Avraham Avinu. We say the brachin Shemin Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but the chesima of the bracha, the conclusion of the bracha is only Avraham Avinu. It's Morgan Avraham. That goes back to the Havamin and the Maskan of the Gemara of Yochli Yuchaisim Bekulam Talmud Loimer. The chasima, the end, the seal, is with Avraham Avinu. B'chol chayisma. The tzaddikim understand that the meaning of b'chol chayisma is not only talking about the bracha and ending and saying Morgan Avraham, but it's referring to the chasima of history, the end of time. We're now holding by the Ne'ilah, by Ne'ilah. Avraham Avinu was the beginning, everything started, and that was called Nidre, and now Avraham Avinu comes back to us by Ne'ilah. And B'chol Chayismim means that there's something about Avraham Avinu that we need to connect to in the deepest way. Davke now, at the end of time. Ramamish at the end. We don't find B'chol Chayismim by Yitzchak and Yaakov. We don't find it by Moshe Rabbeinu, by David HaMelech. The chesima B'chol Chayismim is davke by Avraham Avinu. What is the meaning of this chesima? What is the meaning of the chesima, the B'chol Chayismim of Avraham Avinu? How is Avraham Avinu the chesima? We have to know this because this is what we're in right now. How is he the chesima? So the Megalamukas Schus Eleinu in Pashas Lech Lecha. Megalamukas says that we find a lashon in Navi about Avraham Avinu that we don't find anywhere else in Tanakh. That Yecheskel said Echad Haya Avram. That Avraham Avinu was one. Echad. Echad Haya Avram. Don't find Echad Haya Moshe. Echad Haya David, but Echad Haya Avram. And the Megillah Moses says that the chasima and the siyum of Golas, the completion, the seal, the b'chol chayisim of Golas, is with this koach of Avram Avinu, which was the koach of Echad Haya Avram. That the same way that Avram Avinu was by himself and had to face the entire world, The same way that Avraham Avinu lived in a world that didn't understand him and that mocked him, that made fun of him. Echad. That doesn't mean he didn't have lots of friends and acquaintances. But at the end of the day, it was always Echad Hay Avraham. He was always by himself. That's why you know he's called the Ivri, because the Kol Ha'olam Me'eva, the entire world was on the other side. Now, Avraham Avinu found something. He found the truth. He saw the Bira Delekes, and he attached himself to the creator of the world. And even though the whole world said, you're nuts, the whole world said, you're crazy. Echad Hay Avraham. It didn't change him. He remained Avraham against the whole world. He remained Avraham despite the entire world. So, what the Magen Avraham is telling us, we all feel now as a nation, as a people. That's obvious. I don't even have to go into that. The loneliness of Am Yisrael. We would have thought that in this most recent flare-up of violence in Eretz Yisrael, we would have thought, the reason that we would have thought is because we're fools. We would have thought that the Western world would have sided with us. You know, you think, at least here. We're now living in the time of ISIS. We're living in the shadow of the deal with Paras Umadai. We would have thought that the Western world would get it, that this is a conflict between good and evil, right and wrong. That the Secretary of State himself, that he has such a musug, and he would say such a thing, that it's because of the frustration that the Palestinians feel because of the settlements. Like this 13-year-old kid that stabbed the boy on the bicycle, he's frustrated about the settlements. And that the Western world doesn't understand that this is good versus evil, this is right and wrong, toiv and ra. So once again, we're reminded, Echad Haya Avram, that there's no one else, there's no one that understands us, that we're alone. I think that's very, very obvious, and we feel that. We feel that. Echad Haya Avram. We're alone. And Am Levadad Yishkoin. After all of the years, and after all the tsaros and inquisitions and pogroms, and after the Holocaust, the mitzias of the national life of Am Yisrael as a people remains Echad Hayavram. The whole world against us. I was raised in a home where every minute of my life I was being told that it's us against the world. Therefore, my parents are bechlal not nispal from what's going on. And my parents and my father doesn't spend a minute of his day looking up to see if CNN is happy with us, or if the New York Times says something good about the Jews. Echad Hayavram. But that's not what I want to talk about. That's obvious. That's clear. What's the koyach of Avraham Avinu that we have? And as individuals, as yechidim, as individuals, what is this avoda of Echad Hayavram? Now listen carefully. These past few years, everything has changed. And I know that people, as they get older, they tend to talk that way. And the second they say stuff like that to me, I remember hearing my Rebbeim saying stuff like that, and the second you hear that, it's, oh, here, it's like we're going back into days of old, and you're going to hear something that's not negay to us. But let's try to be honest. It used to be a time that when a Jew was a God-fearing Erlich Yid, that davened three times a day, and tried to learn some Mishnah, Siren Yankiv, or Blat Gemara, depending upon his level. And his wife was taking care of the children. It was a God-fearing woman, said Kabbalah Tehillim, lit the candles with tears. So it used to be that there was a general reality that people lived in, and they lived in that reality 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was the world that they lived in. Things have changed. in such a dramatic way and so quickly. When my wife and I was zeicher to be in Yerushalayim this summer, so it was hard for me to decide. I spent a few weeks fretting about which svarim to take, because they don't let you take your whole thing on the plane. So of course I did. I packed a box and I paid for an extra piece of luggage. But even then, I had to be very selective. So besides the Gemara that I was learning, I had other things that I wanted to learn that I don't have time to learn during the year. And there were two svarim that I took from a certain mechaber who came to be known in Israel as Harav Miat Safon, a Rosh Yeshiva from a Choshev Yeshiva in Tzvaz, who is a person that people were going to, from even Chassidim were going to for brachas, even though he himself is a Kippah Suga, a person who sits in Talis and Tefillin all day long, goes to the mikveh more than once a day. It's a tremendous Talmud Chacham that writes Svarim and Pnimius. And my wife asked me, I think it was the first or second day that we were there, she said, did you hear, she mentioned the name of this Rosh Yeshiva, isn't that the person who you liked the safe, you looked at? I said, so, yeah. And then she told me what was going on, that she read in the Jerusalem Post. And another story of disillusionment and disappointment and somebody being taken away in handcuffs, a mushchas, a manuvel, a rasha. He has a wife who's a tzedekis and I think seven children, something like that. And I put the svarim into Seamus that I brought with me. I threw them away. And like all of you and myself, these are not stories that are just once in a while. We don't know anymore. A person can be, during the day, we're living in a time where a person can be, during the day, learning Torah in the most serious way, goes to the mikveh, is medaktik in halacha, and he lives another life. If you own one of these things that has internet access, that means that you could be anything during the day, but you could be everything else during the night. I once mentioned to you that there was a Sfaradi Chacham who said that the Rosh Tevis of the word Bochur, Beis Ches Vavresh, is Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Rasha. It's a terrible Rosh Tevis. Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Rasha. It's not just by Bochum though nowadays. I'm dealing with this day in, day out. I'm a Rav and I have to deal with a lot of situations. People from the community, from outside the community. Wives who find things. I don't understand. I'm married to this person 30 years. I thought I knew him. I thought he was a tzaddik. We raise our children in Kedusha and Tahara. She finds things on his phone, on his computer. Harav me'at safon. Me'hadarom, Mizrach, Marav. A person can be shakua during the day, immersed and invested in the 50 gates of Bina, Chamishim Shari Bina, Nun Shari Bina, and when no one's looking except for him and the one who created him, he could be in the Memtesh Shari Tumah, beyond the Memtesh Shari Tumah. That means, it seems what's happening is, based upon this Megala Mukis, it seems that what's happening is that the same way that at the beginning of our existence by Avram Avinu, Hashem wanted to bring about that world of Am Yisrael, Davke, in such a mezgeres, in such a metzias, of a person having to say no to the entire world, of a person having to face down the entire world and to say, the truth that I believe in is more precious and more dear to me than everything else that the world is offering. Because when you, and again, I'm not saying this as an anti-technology guy. I get it. I mean, I think at this point, by this point, I get it, that we can't go back in time. There was a time that I was hoping that everybody would just surrender and hand in their weapons. I already get it. It's not going to happen. And we're apparently, this is the Metzius at the end of time, walking in the street and people bumping into you, not even saying they're sorry because they don't even notice you after they bumped into you because they're too busy looking at their thing. People who have lost the humanity because they can't sit for 10 minutes without touching it, without looking at it. But worse than all of that, I'm not talking about looking up what place you have to go to. I'm talking about the loneliness of that person for whom it makes no difference if he was raised in the house of Terach or in the house of the Gadol HaDor. It makes no difference anymore. You and myself, each one of us, are in a state of Echad Hoya Avraham. Because when you are by yourself with Hashem Yisbarach, and you have the ability in 1 second to go out into the entire world. You see, there was never such a thing. We always had challenges. So years ago in Europe, for instance, there was the challenge of reform, of the Haskalah, of the Enlightenment. It's a tremendous, tremendous challenge. We lost many Jews, many. However, we rallied behind yeshivas and chassidus and we formed organizations and from newspapers to fight against the reform. And we rescued, the tzaddikim rescued what they were able to save, what they were able to rescue. But we're not talking now about an ideology. We're not talking about being able to join a club or a chassidus. Because the chassidim and whoever belongs to an organization at the end of the day, when you're by yourself and it's just the Rabbanu Shalom and you, and the whole world is calling out to you, Kum Arayin, come over here. Come to the other side of the river. And you have to decide at this moment, am I prepared? Can I? Do I have the strength of Avraham Avinu to look at the other side of the river and to hold on to the truth that I found myself and to say, no, I'm not going over to the other side of the river. I'm staying where I am. I'm holding on to the truth. I'm not going to let go of the truth. Nowadays, every single person has to enter into that mysterious world of Echad Haya Avraham in order to survive. Since Avraham Avinu, it's never been that way. Because now, when you're Bechadre Chadorim, you have to face the whole world. It was never like that before. When I was growing up, we didn't have such a thing. In 1 second, you're in the entire world. The whole world is calling out to you from a little box. Billions of choices are available to a person that we didn't have. When I was growing up, if a person wanted to do something that was bad, it was like the Gemara says, "Yil bashchay v'yelach lamakim shen makir meisay." There was a movie that the guys wanted to see. We wanted to see this movie. We really wanted to see it because of the violence, but they also had some nasty scenes in there. In Yonam of Gilei Rais also. It was an R-rated. It wasn't anything worse than that. But it wasn't a nice movie. But there was a lot of hack about it, and there was a couple of the chevra that we wanted to see. We couldn't see it in our neighborhood in Queens because we were afraid that we would be seen. Valiras, Liros, you know, you don't want to be seen. You want to see, but you don't want to be seen. We weren't sure what to do. So then we had a schir that was playing in Patchogue, Long Island, this movie. Now, Patchogue is like at the end of the earth, at least from our perspective in Queens, that was the end of the earth, because it was all the way down the Long Island Expressway. That was the world that we knew. And we were just learning how to drive. We were just driving. I don't remember if we were allowed to at that time, but we drove. And we went out to Patchogue, and then there was a long line for this movie. It was a big chashuva hit. And online to the movie was the rabbi in Rabbitson from a local shul, who had the same idea as us, that it would be better to go out to Patchogue to see the movie than seeing it in Queens, because he had more at stake than we did. We're just kids. He's a rabbi. We didn't confront him. There was a guy, one of our guys was in his shul, and he wanted to go over to him and say Shalom Aleichem. But we convinced him not to do that. And this rabbi died a few years ago. Not angry. Disappointed? Of course disappointed. Do I understand? We're living in a world that's infinitely more complicated than it was 40 years ago when I saw that movie. More than 40 years ago. When we went to see that 42, 43 years ago, when we went to see that movie. You don't have to go to Patchogue now. to live a double life, to leave the world of Echad. Echad. You don't have to go to Patra. You just have to go someplace, anywhere. You just have to take the thing, and then the light shines in your face, and darkness covers your entire life. So, what's happening is that the same way that Avraham Avinu could have chosen anything, and he made the choice for Elokus, and he had this, he mamish had to contend with all of creation. He had a million choices. His father worshipped every Avodah Zarah. The whole world was steeped in Avodah Zarah. This one was the moon, this one was the sun, this one was the star, this one was the grass, this one was a frog. Every single Avodah Zarah was a different koach in the world. These were not dumb people. They were koiches. And the koiches were real because they saw them in front of their eyes. They saw the metzias of the sun, the moon. And the sun and the moon were calling out to them. And they saw the frogs, and they saw the flowers, and they saw every koyach that existed. And each koyach was an independent koyach that seemed to them to be real. They could touch, they could smell. And Avraham Avinu saw all of that. Saw all of that. And Echad Haya Avraham, Avraham Ha'ivri, he saw all of that, and he said, Afal Pichain, I'm not letting go of the truth that I know. Even though the whole world says you're crazy. And the whole world looks at us like we're crazy. Look at the choice that each one of you has made. My father's Al Gadol Zayin, my father, all the years when I was growing up, he would tell me how the times they were living in are so amazing. Because when he was a bocher in Hungary, my father said he didn't really feel that he had any choice at all. What was the choice? Not to be from... My father said... Everything, everybody was. And the whole, that's all that they had. And if you wanted to stay connected to your brothers, your sister, your parents, your grandparents, you wanted to be there, you had to live that way. My father said there were some guys, he had a cousin, there were some guys that went away, they went to Vienna, to Budapest, or they went to Berlin, and they left everything. They left Yiddishkeit, no shaychus anymore to their family. They left. In other words, the choice was very stark, black and white. So my father said, so what was his choice? So he said that when he was 15, 16, in those days, that's when they would go to work. You go to your, if your family had a business, you went to the family business. So my father's father, my grandfather, had some kind of a shmata business. And my father said he felt he would rather die than go into that business. He didn't want to go into that business. He didn't want to be in that business. So he said that he knew he had a very good head. My father was a very good learner. He made a siyum on the... I found that from my uncle and from my father's friend. My father made a siyum on the three bavas Baal Peh, by his bar mitzvah. Baal Peh, he was tested by the dayanim of this town with Rashi and Tosfos Baal Peh. Gemara Rashi, Tosfos Baal Peh, and the three bavas by the bar mitzvah. That's when we're just taking our thumb out of our mouth, right? It was a different world. It was a different world. Not to Mataf Yomi, which is itself an accomplishment. It's a different world. So he knew how to learn. He knew how to learn. So he thought that my way out of the poverty, my way out of the misery, the bizyoinus, is maybe I could be a rav of a city or a dain. And that's what he was getting ready to do when Hitler came. But my father said that he didn't really feel that he had much of a choice. So he stayed in the bismarck, and they would learn. But my father said, but the guys nowadays, he said, they mamish want to learn. I don't want to disappoint my father. There are some that are doing it for shidduchim and stuff like that. But my father would say about you, and I would also say about you, you had many choices. Every one of you, some of are on a higher level, some on a different level, but every one of you has chosen, made a choice after yeshiva, after high school, most of you went to Eretz Yisrael, you made a choice that even though it sounds to the entire world like it's totally crazy, I'd rather sit in a room with a bunch of ugly guys than to sit with some pretty girls in some classroom someplace and finish up at, I don't mean to insult you, I mean Jewish-looking guys. And I'd rather do that than sit in a classroom like in the University of Miami to be in class until 11 in the morning and then sit on the lawn under a palm tree with some shiksa. And I made a choice to sit in a room with with my Rebbe and with the Gemara, and the world thinks that you and I are totally out of our minds. And we couldn't even explain this to somebody in the world. Try to explain. What are you reading? I remember I used to learn many years ago when we first married, there was a kollel for mechanchim that we had in the afternoon. We learned in the afternoon that we got a little bit of money and we were able to be in the Beis Medrash. And there was a very, very sweet guy, a black guy that worked there in the shul who was cleaning. And his name was Rob. Very sweet. He was there for years and we were learning all the time. And he saw us sitting around the table with the big gemaras. And Rob once, like he was sweeping, and we were sitting there learning, and he says, "Hey guys, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can I ask you something?" I said, "Rob," and we all liked him. He said, "Sure, Rob. What is it?" He said, "Like, when are you guys going to finish that book already?" He only saw us like for 7 years. We were sitting there like learning, from the Gemara, and he said, "Like, it's like, what's the story of that book? When are you going to finish that book?" So how do you explain to Rob? Like, how do you explain to him, this is not a book. This is my life. It's not a book. We don't finish. We never even started. We didn't finish to finish. Can't explain that. The world doesn't understand. And so how do you and myself make this choice, the choices that we're making? So even when one of you, Chalila, wants to do something that's bad, you can't be happy with yourself. You have to be miserable. Stam, a person in the veld, in the world, they want to go look at something disgusting. They want to go do something disgusting. It's a mechaya. It's a mechaya. But you know what Rabbi Levitzer Berdichever said? When people said something bad about some Jewish community, Berdichever said, "I never saw Jews should make a siyum for an aveira. They don't get together and make a party for doing aveiras, only for finishing mesachdis. Only for mitzvahs Jews make simchas. They make a kiddush. You never have a guy that made a kiddush that I just did the biggest aveira in my life. I want to make a kiddush in honor of the aveira I did." That means that a Jew, you and I, we make choices, and they're hard choices. And the choice that we've made is to be like Avram Avinu. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. It's very hard. And what the Magal Mukis is teaching us is that the Chesima B'choch Chesman is that Hashem is testing the last generation before Mashiach comes. He's bringing us back to the beginning of Avram Avinu, where Avram Avinu had the whole world in front of him. He could have become whatever he wanted to become. And the whole world was saying, "Kumaran, come to me. Every koch in the world was saying, me. And you can invest yourself in this avoida, and you could lose yourself in the filth and the insanity of the world. If you're a person that lives in 2015, if you're in this world now, if you want to be an Elohi, to be a Jew, and that's your choice, it's a choice that requires a Lech Lecha Mir'atzecha M'ladcha M'beis Avicha that's much, much stronger. Even stronger than what Avraham Avinu had to face. Even stronger than anything Avraham Avinu had to face. The choices that a person has nowadays. The technology, of course, has on it much that is good. And there'd be a lot of rabbis that would be out of work now because they wouldn't be able to Google the Dvar Torah for Shabbos if they didn't have the internet. And there's a lot of good you could find on it. But there are billion trillion things that no Jewish eye should ever see. And you know, and I know, that that's something that you're struggling with. You know that it's a struggle. You know that it's an Echad Hayavram. Mamish Nechad Hayavram. So look at the Likutei Maran that you have in front of you. I think most of you know this Likutei Maran. It's in the Hashmotis. It's interesting. It's not in the first Chelik. It's not in the second Chelik. It's in between the first and second Chelik. It's the Chasim of Likutei Maran Kama. And it's what takes us into the days of Mashiach, which is Tinyana. Echad Hayavram. Shavrom over Hashem rak ayidei shahaya echad. The way that Avram Avinu served Hashem is ayidei shahaya echad. Ayidei shahaya echad. Shechoshe bedaita shuhu rak yechidi ba'olam. The only way that he could do it is that he looked at himself as yechidi ba'olam. It's just me and Hashem is Baruch. Nothing else. Lo estak al klal al b'nei ha'olam. He turned away. He turned away from all of the websites of the world. That was going further away from Hashem and tried to prevent him from serving Hashem. He didn't look at his father. It doesn't mean he didn't have breakfast with him. He didn't say good morning. But he didn't seek the truth, or he didn't seek satisfaction by his father. He lived Kihilu Echad Ba'olam. That's what Hashem is bringing us to right now. Kihilu Echad Ba'olam. Zo Echad Haya Avram. And that is the deeper meaning of Echad Haya Avram. V'chein kolay roitzer lichnois b'avodas Hashem. And it wasn't only by Avram Avinu. Rabbi Nachman says to the last generation, to the end, because you know Rabbi Nachman was speaking to us, mamash. So Rabbi Nachman says, v'chein kolay roitzer lichnois b'avodas Hashem. And so it is now. Anybody who truly wants to enter an avodas Hashem, if you're not fooling yourself, be'emes, you want to enter into avodas Hashem, kol ha'roitze lichnos b'avodas Hashem, e efshel lichnos kim ayidei b'china zu, the only way to truly, truly be an avodas Hashem now is in this way of Avraham Avinu. That's the chasima. She'yachshov she'ein ba'olam kim hu levado yechidi ba'olam. To see yourself and to live in such a way that the truth that you have and that you worked hard to get and the choice that you made, it's only you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all. And don't pay any attention to anybody who's offering you something else, who's calling out to you, but truly is ready to burn you in the Shama Mamish, to burn you in the Shama. Lisraif es nishmascha. Could go on aviv imo, and could be people that you love. Your father, your mother, chaisno, v'ishto, in-laws, bona v'chiyotze. David HaMelech said about himself, Muzar ha'yisi lecha. He was like a stranger in his own house. David HaMelech was like a stranger. His brothers didn't understand him. His brothers were big tzaddik. They didn't understand him. When Shmuel HaNavi came to his house, and he was told that that's where the king is, so David HaMelech was out with the sheep out in the field. David HaMelech's father was Yishai. Yishai was big tzaddik. He didn't have anything wrong. Yishai was like Kadim Achet. It was just such a tzaddik. Chazal say about him, but Yishai, and Yishai never dreamt that it could be David HaMelech. Evan Maaso Abanim Ha'isla Reishpim. When Shmuel asked him, are these all, because the oil he poured kept on going, didn't come, it went back into the jar by all of Yishai's sons, and only by David HaMelech it worked. So he went to all of the sons, and Shmuel saw that it wasn't this one, it's not this one, it's not this one. So he asked him, so his father said, do you have another son? He said, oh, Sher Echad, I have a Sher Echad, I have one that's left out in the field. Echad, Sher Echad, one that's left out in the fields that they never ever dreamt that it's him. Evan Maasu Habayinim. David HaMelech said that. It was about himself. Ha'isal Reish Pima. That the whole world is standing on that Evan that was thrown into the garbage pile. David HaMelech that was pushed away. Muzar Ha'isi Lachai. Ki Avi Vimi Azavuni V'Hashem Yasveini. That's how he lived. Echad, Echad, Echad. V'Shem Mishah B'nei Ha'olam Hamaligim V'Mesisim V'Mayinim Avados Yisbarach that makes fun, that mocks you and tries to pull you away from what is Hashem. That's what the Megal Mukis is talking about. The Chasima, the end of time, we're thrown back into the beginning. The Gula at the end is to connect the beginning and the end. In the same way at the beginning, it was all about one man that had all of the choices before him. And the whole world was calling out to him, and he turned away and said, no, I made a choice, and this choice that I've made is the truth. And I'm going to live with this, even if it means myself against the whole world. And that's where we're in right now. It's each and every one of us making the right choice and holding on to that in the way of Achastiv L'Arapenu, not letting go of it. The Midah of Avram is Chesed. We finish in 2 minutes. The Midah of Avram is Chesed. The Zohar Kodesh speaks about the Midas HaChesed and the Chosid. And the Zohar Kodesh says, Mischasidim Kainai. The greatest chesed that one can do is with the one who created you, is with Hashem. Now, what does that mean? It means Hashem wants us to be kind to each other, to kind to everybody, to everything. To be Bali Chesed. But there's a midah that's called Mischasid Im Kainai. You look in Mesil Shasham Yud Ches over there. The midah Sachsidis, he talks about this. What does it mean to be Mischasid Im Kainai? It means that when Hashem Yisbarach looks at the world and he takes a look at the world, he finds only a few who have chosen him and who are sticking with him. There is no greater kindness that you and I can do for the one who created us than to make the right choice. The nachas ruach that Hashem has, it's hard now. It's hard like it was by Avraham Avinu. It's very, very hard. Maybe harder. It's very hard. But when you and I make the right choice, the joy that we bring, the nachas ruach that we bring in Shemayim, is infinite, mamish infinite. There's never been such nachas ruach that Hashem has as the nachas ruach he has from people like you who are making the choice to sit and learn, who make the choice to get up and to daven, to go to minyan, when everything in your guf is telling you shluf, shluf, sleep. Who makes the choice when it comes down to it and you could do an aveira and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, and it's hard, and you say, no, no. Hashem berach hasavim bakol, bakol zreshetevus, bakoach kein lo. That a Jew has the ability to say yes to what he shouldn't, to say lo, to turn away from what he should stay away from. If you have that, then you have everything. And that gives the biggest nachas ruach that Hashem Baruch Hu Avin Bakol. There's no greater nachas ruach that the Borei Olam has, though, when a Jew is able to say yes to him and to say no to the rest of the world. That's what you have to do nowadays, to be a Jew. It's not easy. It's not like it used to be. Not like it used to be. Hashem Baruch Hu Avin Bakol, to be mischasidim kainai. To be kind to the one who created us, who's good to us. I'll tell you just a ma'isa. So I told this a few times over the years, but it's very personal, but it was something that changed my life, and I want to share it with you. That when I was in sixth grade, I was desperate to get out of yeshiva. I was chalishing to leave yeshiva. The Rebbe that I had was an old man who was sick. Now they would put him in jail. It wasn't just that he wouldn't just slap us. He used to hit us with his fist. He was a sick person. I look back now and I realize, at the time we had seen types like that, but he was really extreme. On top of everything, he had the most horrible breath I ever smelled in my life. When he would yell at you, he would pull you by your shirt right next to him, and he would scream in your face. Now, it was something unbearable. And I wasn't happy with the English stuff either, but as far as this was concerned, I felt like a mamish had to get out. I had to get out. Also, I lived on a block where there was only one other religious family who had a son. He was a strange guy. And otherwise, my best friends were my Chinese neighbors. They were great guys. I wasn't allowed to go into the house, but my father encouraged the friendship because they were very respectful, good people. And there were a couple of non-religious Jews lahavdil on the block. I went into Italians and stuff. This was the worst time of the year because this is when they changed the clock. So that it means when they changed the clock, it means that I knew that the guys, they would get back from public school like at 2:30 or something, and they already went to play ball for an hour or two, and they went bowling when it was raining or snowing or something, and they went to the movies, and they would come back, or they would have some supper, and I would get off the bus, it was pitch dark, the little yeshiva bacher would get off, it was pitch dark, so I'd do a little bit of homework, and if it worked out, I was able to watch like one television show or something, and then it starts all over the next day. Back to that crazy Rebbe and the dark school bus. And there was also a kid on the school bus that every single day threw up on this. His name was Pinchas. Ever since that time, when I hear the name Pinchas, it's hard for me to deal with it. I'm telling you the truth. somebody in my family, a niece of mine, was thinking about giving the kid named Pinchas, and I said, no. So what's wrong? Pinchas is a big tzaddik. I said, no. I can't explain it. Just, no, not Pinchas. Anything but Pinchas. Every single day, this guy threw up on the bus, on the wall, on the floor, on the guy next to him. I mean, nobody sat next to him. It was a crazy thing. So I just had to get out of yeshiva night. So I went to my father, and I said, Dad, can I talk to you? He said, yeah, what is it? It was a Thursday. I remember this like yesterday. I said, Daddy, I want to leave. I want to go to public school. I hate being yeshiva. I hate yeshiva. I don't want to stay. So my father said, what's wrong? So I told him, the Rebbe's like this, and this like that. And you know, all my friends, they have so much fun, and I can't take it. And I said, don't worry, Daddy, you know, I'll be religious and everything like that. I'll go to shul. I just don't want to go to yeshiva. No, we didn't have choices of yeshivas. Where I lived, there were two yeshivas. The other one was the same problem, but it was just as bad. So my father listened to me, and he said to me, it's a very, very big decision. It's your decision. But I want you to think about it over Shabbos. It's a big decision, you know. I want you to think about it over Shabbos. So I didn't expect that. So Thursday, Friday, I was just, you know, I didn't think about it. Friday, of Shabbos, whatever. And then but Friday night, after the meal, so it was mirrors and Devar Torah, and then my father and I would always play chess a little bit, talk. He didn't mention a word about it. Friday night, I go to sleep. I'm lying there in bed. Of course, being a child of Holocaust survivors, so I start to think about how, like, all my grandparents were put into the guest chamber, now I'm going to go to public school, you know. So I start to have all these thoughts. And, you know, my parents are such good people, and it's going to be so embarrassing for them. Like, I'm the only, like, Moshe is in public school, you know. And I'm going to wear my Yankee hat all day long. You know, can't wear a yarmulke over there. They'll beat me up. And I'm having all these thoughts. But at the same time, I keep on thinking about this Rebbe, you know. And I got to get out of public school. I got to get out of yeshiva and go to public school. So finally, Sunday morning, my father and I go to shul. We come back from shul. I'm sorry, I took a few minutes. Finally, come back from shul and sit down to breakfast. And I was a little bit uncomfortable. I didn't know what it was going to be. My father said, even my father said, no, Maisha. He said, what? He said, what's your decision? What's your decision? And I said, I decide I'll stay in yeshiva. And my father doesn't show emotions very often, but his eyes were red. And he said to me, I'm proud of you. It's a good decision. You made the right decision. So then I said, Daddy, tell me the truth. You going to let me go to public school? So my father said, over my dead body. I said, are you crazy? I'm going to let you go to public school? I said, but Daddy, you told me it's my choice. That's what you told me. It's my choice. So my father said, because I knew that you would make the right choice. That's what we have to hear Hashem saying to us. You understand? That changed my life. My father told me that. I knew you would make the right choice. And sometimes over the years when I was drawn to making the wrong choice, I hear my father telling me, I know you'll make the right choice. To be a Jew means to lift ourselves up to a place where you can hear Hashem's book telling us the same thing. Hashem says to us, sure, you could choose. You could go on this thing. You could surf. You could do... And no one will see you. Press the thing, and it's there. You're in another world. The Sitra Achra, the other side. The other. It's true. And then you get up in the morning, you drag yourself to davening, and only Hashem knows, and you know, that same eyes that's looking in the Siddur was looking at something else. We have a million choices. A million choices that we can make. And at the end, when you're by yourself, either you live a life of Echad HaYavram, or you live a double life like the Rav Miatzafon. Don't live double lives. You see, you look at me, you have no idea. I look like I'm a religious guy, right? I have the right outfit. I know your Rebbe's at Sadi, you don't have to worry about him, but you don't know me. I have the right outfit. I stopped shaving. When you stop shaving, maybe not all of you at this point, but at some point it starts to grow, you know. And if you leave a little hair on the sides, it looks even more religious. Then when you go out and you buy a long coat, whew, that's already mamish religious, right? You don't know. God forbid. You're going to look at the newspaper tomorrow and see Weinberg will be taken off in handcuffs. You don't know anything. I could look at you in the eyes and tell you that by my bid and pay, is that's not going to happen. I could tell you that. It could be the Rav Matzefan also told his Talmidim that. I don't know. Only God knows if I have one life, if I'm echad, or if I'm caught in a lot of lies. Don't do that. Don't become someone that's like the Rav Matzefan, a miniature version of that, where your life is divided into many lives. You've chosen this life, then live it. And live it be'emes. Be'emes. Be'emes means mesiras nefesh. It means like, I've never had to go into fire for it. You also go into fire. Every time you have to say no, and there's something the world is saying, do this, and you have to say, no, I can't do this, then you're going into a fire. But this is it. This is major leagues. It's the end of time. This is the choice that we have to make. Echad Hayavram. I want to give you a bracha. I'm sure you give me the same bracha. That we should be mechazik ourselves, and we should be mischazik, and be mechazik others, and be mechazik ourselves. That Hashem's Baruch should have nachas ruach from us, that we shouldn't, God forbid, live double lives. We shouldn't be one of those people, God forbid. Almost every day of the week I get a phone call from some nice Jewish woman, and I already know what it's going to be, because I could hear the voice shaking. And that's people that I know, some of them, most of them I don't know. She says, Rabbi Weinberger, or Rebbe. I said, yes. I found something on my husband's phone today. Don't let that happen to you, Chavre. I'm saying don't let it happen. I'm not saying find a better way not to get caught. Don't let it happen to you. Don't become divided. It's hard. Echad Avram. We're going to see soon what Hashem Yisbarach has ready for us now. That loneliness is going to be changed into something. And the day will be Hashem Echad Ushmai Echad and Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baris will be revealed with the Gula Hashem V'Amitis V'Mehem Yomino V'Amein V'Amein.
Amen.
Shkoyach.